Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. You are tuned in to Sex and the Struggle. It's Tuesday night. Tuesday night, let's see, the date would be August
22nd,
2017. It's the 22nd or 23rd, Dave? Come on, man. Don't take me
right
one
at...
day. Come on, man. We already struggling. What the fuck is the date, Dave? Come on, man. It's the 22nd. Wait a minute. Wait, Dave, what country are you in? You're not in Australia, are you?
Not yet.
Okay, because it's the 23rd in Australia. So, but right now here on the East Coast of the United States, it is the 22nd. I'm Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and that is my date-informed brother David Freeman joining me as always. Good to have you here, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to this evening. This evening's podcast. I'm looking forward to the days ahead. We are getting closer and closer. We are officially 25 days away from Sex and the Struggle.
All
25
right.
days away from Sex and the Struggle, the live event that's happening in Chester City, Pennsylvania, 7 p.m. at the fantastic MJ Free Theater. Before we came on, man, I was telling you that just as it's starting to feel good, Dave, just as things are starting to come together on one hand, man, don't all kinds of bullshit starts to happen. All kinds of stuff, man. It's like there's this the universe is conspiring against me or some shit, you know. But I like when people say, nah, man, that's never true. The universe wants you to have what you want. So what it's trying to teach you is a few lessons, a few last-minute planning lessons. So one of the things that happened today, man, was that I learned that the – thank God for Sister Patricia Harris. I hope she'll be on with us later. Patricia Harris is also known to some folks as Pleasure. I'm hoping she's going to join us around 9:30 this evening. She texts me and she goes, the link is broken. The link to the Eventbrite page where people can buy tickets. She was like, it says that it's over.
No.
I go back there and I look and I'm like, oh, hell no. And it just happened yesterday. So something happened,
wow.
man, where I was setting up the Eventbrite where it ended today. I didn't realize that I had set it to end yesterday. I don't know what happened, man, but it just happened yesterday. So I'm hoping I didn't lose anybody in the last 24 hours who was trying to get their tickets. If you're trying to get tickets to Sex and the Struggle, you want to go back there. Eventbrite. Sex and the Struggle, let's get it on. You can get your tickets. It's up and running again. Sister Patricia, Pleasure, Harris, thank you so much, my love. I hope to hear you later on tonight. So that's one of the things, Dave. And then the other host of things that have just been going on, man. It's just like I'm in a prize fight, brother. I'm in a prize fight. I'm like, you know, I'm duking it out.
What's going on?
I'm just duking it out with unseen forces, and maybe they're all in my mind. But Sex and the Struggle is going to happen just the way it has happened.
It's going to be hot.
Almost eight. It is. It's going to happen, man. We will not be deterred.
It's going to be hot. Yep.
We are going to have some sex in this struggle, my brother. It's going to be a struggle,
you know,
but we're going to have some sex.
That's right. I was telling you before, you know, the way when you started describing how things at the last minute start, you know, feeling like they're getting tight and you're trying to hold this thing together and it seems like it's a struggle and everything you do, like the more you push and say, I got to get this thing done, like new things just start popping up one after the other. One of the things that has come up for me in that spot is I start to get that feeling. I must be really close because I'm pissing something off. Something's trying to, something, there's something that's like doesn't want me to have it. I start getting excited, Ulysses. I start getting excited. Like, I know I got to be close.
But you know what, man? I just had this thought, Dave, that perhaps what happens is, like, when you start making a lot of radical movements in your life, you start, like, pushing stuff around, right? You start pushing things around. You start making noise. There's a reverberation. So it's like you're pushing,
right.
And the things that you're pushing, they're not actually pushing against you. That's not what they're doing. You're the one who's creating that stuff. So, you know, if you're in a room full of blocks, for example, and you start pushing the blocks around, the blocks are going to start to rearrange themselves, right? they're going to start to do something. So it's like the reaction to your pushing is going to be met. The action of your pushing is going to be met with a reaction. So it is our very action that is causing the response. And it's not necessarily negative. It's just that when you're trying to move things around, there's going to be a response to those things being moved around because they were in perfect, they were in place, and now you want to push them out the way. So that's how I'm going to look at it. It's like, no, there's nothing against me. I'm just making some moves, and this is what happens when you start to push stuff around. Some of it starts to fall. Some of it starts to reposition, but it's not fighting you. It's actually just kind of getting out of your way, and that's how I'm going to look at it, man. That's how I see it.
That's right. That's right. That's beautiful. I like that. But this is going to be one hot event, and I know it is. I see the energy you're putting into it. I see the team that you're building and people who are forming around this. This just feels good.
I'm so glad you said that, man, because team has never meant more than it does right now. I have people, and I know my sister Lenona is out there right now. She's tuned in. As I mentioned, pleasures already. I got people like Betsy Crane. I got guests. I got you. I got Laura Began somewhere in Connecticut. She's helping out. I got people that are actually helping out. So even when I think that I'm on my own, I got Juliet from London who's sending me texts saying, hey, hang in there. I got people who are helping. I am not by myself. My boy Bill Nix is helping me out. There are people who believe in this thing, and they are not going to let me give up, and they are not going to it fall. Juliet said to me earlier, she was like, this is what the world needs. She's like, this is exactly, this is the conversation that the world needs. Betsy Crane said that the other day when I interviewed her. Have you seen that video that I put up of her yet, Dave? The one of Betsy Crane from Widener. So she is a distinguished professor. She used to be the director of the Center for Human Sexuality Studies. They are the only program, Widener has the only program in the country that gives a master's degree and a PhD in human sexuality studies. So this is what we come into the table with, brother. This is what we come into the table with. We come into the table with distinguished professors. We come in with my boy Eric Shamari Grimes. We come in with Jules Purnells. We come in with Tony Rullo, who will be with us later. We got Frenchie Davis. I'm doing my best to get Tazima here, and if I can get you here, and I think you're going to be in some other country. But I'm getting everybody here, man, because this is going to be a victory for all of us. This is going to be a celebration.
That's right.
Sex and the Struggle is going to be a celebration for all of us because we know that the conversation of sex intimacy – the conversations of sex, intimacy, and pleasure are critical in this day and age where all people can talk about are, you know, the alt-right in Charlottesville and all of these things that are important, but they are not more important than intimacy. They are not more important than pleasure. We need intimacy,
and, you know,
sex,
one thing
and pleasure in these days.
Yeah, one thing that really feels good, you know, about this and about being a part of all this stuff that you're doing with Sex and the Struggle, you know, the radio program as well as the event, is that, you know, we came together and there's others who are coming together because we all, you know, heard this call, we felt this thing that was missing, that was needed to be brought out into the world, and we found our own voice in this. And we started reaching out, and that's when we started finding each other and connecting in that way. And as we connect with each other and start to build these collaborations, you know, we start to find a force. We start to get that movement going, and that it feels good to look around and see all these different things happening and all these different people involved. And you start to look around and recognize that either you know these people directly or you're connected to them, you know, through some other way of being connected. And it's a powerful movement, and it's very much needed in this world, and the message is getting out there and reaching a lot of people.
It is, man, and I like the fact that just like I was talking earlier about moving, making noise, and you know the things that seem to be falling against me in this process. The fact of the matter is that there are people who are showing up. The more we talk about this, the more people show up. So there are people that are out there making this call as well. While we are part of something, you know, we are we started a particular conversation. We started a specific conversation, but these conversations are going on. So we are now one of the lights that are part of this international illumination of lights. We are just one of those mm-hmm. lights. And now people can see us and we can see them. And now we can reach out mm-hmm. to one another and we can talk to one another and we can share and we can celebrate. Because what is important? Sex, intimacy, and pleasure. These things are important. This is how we hold ourselves together. Man, I got to tell you, you ain't going to believe this, and maybe you will. Maybe you will. But I could swear I'm looking at the number of one Frenchie Davis. I could swear I'm looking at the board here. And I think I might see a Frenchie Davis coming on here. You mind if I check, Dave? This is Sex and the Struggle, folks. And we ain't talked to Sister Frenchie Davis since she went off to Brazil some time ago.
It's been a minute.
Drum roll, please.
Hi, good people.
Oh, Frenchie. Lord have mercy.
I miss you guys.
I see my pigeon found you. I sent the pigeon down there to Rio to find your ass.
Listen,
I see my pigeon found you.
I got that little message from around the damn ankle. I got the message in a bottle. I pulled out the postcard from the mailbox.
Right.
Yep.
I even had a dude deliver some milk or act like he was delivering some milk to you, but you didn't drink that milk,
I got
hope.
I got it. No.
Okay, good.
But,
don't drink the milk in Rio.
But you silly. You are so funny.
Frenchie, I hear you coming to Sex and the Struggle, sister. Is that true?
Man, I can't wait.
I'm floored, sister. We was in D.C. back in June. Frenchie coming to her old stomping grounds, Chester in Widener University. Frenchie Davis gonna be hanging. I'm trying to let everybody know, Frenchie.
I'm trying to let everybody know
that you're gonna be in town, that you're gonna be back on the block. All right.
That's damn right.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice. I'm expecting that we're going to be joined shortly by a guy named Tony Rullo, who is an orgasmic meditation practitioner. Tony is also going to be with us for Sex and the Struggle. And I want to hear what Tony has to say about what some people view as, you know, in sex. I don't know if we can even use the word controversial, but Tony's going to talk about his experience as an orgasmic meditation practitioner. There are a lot of people that have never heard of orgasmic meditation, and Tony's going to talk about it. I met Tony as part of one of the classes when I was with an organization, a company that does orgasmic meditation, one of the front runners in orgasmic meditation. And Tony's going to come on, and he's going to talk about this, and he's going to talk about it during Sex and the Struggle as well. So we're expecting him to be calling in just a few minutes. And then I also have a sister named Patricia Harris, who I expect to have calling in. Patricia runs a Pleasure. She goes by the name of Pleasure, by the way. She runs a company dedicated to pleasure. So we're going to be joined by a couple of people this evening, and I'm willing to bet that we're also going to hear from the other Davis sister before the night is up. So we're going to have a good time, and we're just 15 minutes into this thing. If you are listening and you want to call in, you have something you want to offer us after 9:30, you want to call in after 9:30, call 657-383-0185. Again, that's 657-383-0185. We ain't heard from you for so long. You got to drop some pearls of wisdom on us, Frenchie. Say something Frenchie like.
Oh.
It's a lot of pressure.
Something like, when was the last time you were around panties so wet you could use it as a face cloth, wipe yourself down and smell the occasion?
Girl, I miss you.
You know,
Frenchie,
maybe
what
you,
were you doing?
maybe you guys can help me. I swear, I've been having some kind of off-kilter dreams, and you know, I don't even, there isn't a dream interpretation for some of the stuff that I've been dreaming about lately. So, but my mind has been working overtime. But I dreamed that I was having complications, like breathing, like through my esophagus specifically. And I put my fingers down my throat to clear my throat because I just could not get out the phlegm or whatever that was blocking my pathway. And I ended up throwing up a pair of my panties. And I, you know, have been just trying to examine why I threw up my own panties. It's been boggling me.
So are you near a couch? Are you near a couch? Because I'm going to invite you to lie down.
I'm on the sofa.
So you want to run this back to me? Tell me how this goes.
Well, like I said, I was trying to clear my throat, kind of like if you have a cold and they're splitting
right.
your throat.
Uh huh.
But I couldn't clear my throat, and
right.
I was just having difficulty breathing. So I decided to put my fingers down my throat to clear the passageway, and whatever that was blocking my esophagus to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pair of panties.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So here's what I'd like to do, Frenchie.
Right.
I'm a marinate on this because I think Tony is joining us right now, and you have done one hell of a job, absolutely one hell of a job of illustrating for me, creating an image for me that I think I will remember to the day they close the coffin, they close that. Okay, so I ain't going to forget this. We're going to come back to this. And I want to introduce Tony into this. Tony is, I believe this is him. I'm going to double check here. Tony.
Hello, Ulysses. How are you?
What's happening, man? Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Hey,
Tony.
Thank you very much for the information,
for the invitation.
Invitation. Thank you so much. And I don't know if you heard Frenchie. She was sharing with us a dream that she had. Did you pick up on that?
I got the tail end of it, and I was like, oh, damn, I should have been on earlier.
Well, you know what? This might be the question that we all have to answer before the night. Is that we may have to interpret this dream, help Frenchie interpret this dream. But
please, somebody tell me something.
Yeah, because we need for you to be able to sleep later, Frenchie. So we're going to run that back one more time around the 9:30 hour, because I got a sister named Pleasure that will be joining us, and maybe she can even help with this. But we got Tony Rulo on with us, and Tony has –
Are we there?
Hello?
Something happened and I started hearing music in my headset. Tony, you still with me?
I'm still with you.
Thank you, sir. So, Tony, you and I met more than a year ago, man, when you were a student.
Yep.
And you are an orgasmic meditation practitioner who, I should mention again, we'll be joining Sex and the Struggle live September 16th, 2017. Man, I am so glad that you'll be joining us. I am so excited to have you there, to be on the stage with me, Frenchie, and some other folks talking about orgasmic meditation. Tony, go ahead and run it down to us, man. Run it down to us. So you are – talk about orgasmic meditation. Talk about how you got into it. Go ahead.
All right. Orgasmic meditation is a partnered practice where a stroker can be male or female, strokes a strokee who is female, and you're stroking the upper left quadrant of a clitoris for 15 minutes without any expectations or agenda. There's no goals. It's a goalless practice. All you're doing is just feeling into the moment, feeling the sensations in your body, and feeling for the next best stroke to take you to the highest point of sensation. So you're stroking with your left index finger, and you're just focused on the clitoris, and you're just not rushing, not it's not masturbation, it's not, although it's sexual, it's more about consciousness and being present and being in the moment and connecting with that person on a conscious level. As women are basically deprived of desire, and we're living in a world where it's very masculine orientated, and it's an opportunity for men or women to be of service to their partners. You can be straight, you can be gay, it doesn't matter what you identify yourself as gender-wise. As long as you're stroking a clitoris, you can take part in the practice. And to answer your second question, in regard to how I found the practice and what set me on this journey, I was yearning for connection, and I didn't even realize it. I felt very disconnected. I was in the online dating world, and I wasn't interested in relationship, and I was just literally just hooking up and just meeting people just purely for sex and body gratification. I hit a wall, and I said, you know what, this is not working for me anymore. I'd been doing the online dating hookup thing for like 5 years, and I just gave it a break. And then for like 5 months, I was sort of like in the wilderness sort of thing, just trying to see what was out there. I tried Tantra workshops, and I tried various other forms of meditation and yoga, and I don't know, I was just looking for something more. And I stumbled across orgasmic meditation. And originally I was kind of skeptical, and I thought, well, here I am. I was in Sydney, Australia at the time. And I was like, okay, we'll give this a go. It combines meditation, with orgasm, but it wasn't they weren't professing orgasm in what we know as ejaculation. It was more, orgasm was known as feeling and sensing things in your body. What they refer to in orgasmic meditation as ejaculation is known as climax. So there's a separation of the two. So looking at that principle, I was like, okay, this is interesting. We'll see how this goes. So I attended this introductory day, and I was like, I don't know. I'll just take everything seriously. Just give it a go. I was very skeptical, but I thought, just keep going. I've spent the money. Just keep going. And I was doing all the exercises, and then they did the live demonstration, and I'm like, whoa.
So what was that like, Tony? Describe the live demonstration. What did that look like?
Okay, the live demonstration, there was a semi-naked woman on a table, like a massage table, supported with pillows, and there was another woman who was leading the tutorial, and she was stroking this semi-naked woman, and I don't know, I just got blown out by it. It was just, I remember at the end of it just getting up and feeling very lightheaded. I said, well, what's just happened here? And I thought I was on my own in that, but I'd spoken to other people that were present and they felt the same thing. So I was like, okay, there's something in this. And then after we all break for lunch, came back from lunch, they explained the whole orgasmic meditation procedure and in detail, but it was closed. And then there was like an opportunity to actually partake in the practice for the first time. And I was like, well, I've got nothing to lose.
So, Tony, let me ask you something. That meant when you said partake, that meant that you're a man. Men are only strokers.
Yes.
In orgasmic meditation. So that meant
correct.
That you sat beside someone and you had an opportunity to simulate or actually do the clit stroking.
I could actually do the clit stroking. It was a practical workshop at the end.
And
of
so
this,
was this with a stranger? With somebody you didn't know?
Yes, it was
okay.
With a complete stranger. It was another student that was there. And what I did was, because I didn't have a partner, if you didn't have a partner, you were told to be at one particular part of the room and wait for someone to approach you to ask you to ohm with them. And I was asked by someone to ohm, so I took part in it, and I was nervous, I was uncoordinated, but it was good that there was someone there guiding everybody in the process, you know, so it wasn't that hard. There was somebody there supporting you. Quite a few people actually were supporting you in the room while you were stroking.
I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Tony, you said that, you know, the only goal is to feel and see what comes up in your body. I wonder, what was that first ohm like for you, your first experience with this?
It was a very nervous process. I'm fully clothed, and yeah, it's not like it wasn't normal for me to be clothed in the presence of a semi-naked woman. Yeah, usually, yeah. So that was something that I had to get used to, and then I was just completely nervous. I was sweating. I was just being overly conscious. Am I doing this right? Have I got my finger on the right place? Am I hurting her? Am I, yeah, you got a million thoughts. It's just, yeah. So you're actually, confined to the amount of movement. Like you either apply more pressure or less pressure, upstroke, downstroke, or you go slower or faster in those strokes. And that's the limitations of the movement. You don't rotate around, you don't penetrate the vagina or anything like that. It's just purely pulling back the clitoral hood and stroking the upper left quadrant of the clitoris. Now, it's a small spot, but it can be done with a whole lot of practice. You'll get that upper left quadrant. And the reason why you stroke the upper left quadrant is that it has the greatest number of nerve endings. Now, a clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings on it, and its sole purpose is nothing but to receive pleasure. As men, we like to think we're kings. We like to think we're kings, but the head of a penis only has 4,000 nerve endings, and it's a multitasking tool. You know, we ejaculate through it, we urinate through it, you know, whereas a clitoris, it's its own unique thing. Yeah, women are so lucky. And that's their power center. You're tapping into the base chakra of their energy center. And it's just amazing as a man what you're feeling. And at the end of that first om, I was buzzy. I was electrified. I couldn't sort of sit still. I didn't realize that I hadn't been grounded. And I remember going back to work that evening as I was really busy with my job at the time. And I remember sitting in the office, and it was 3 hours after oming, and I actually picked up the phone and contacted the strokee, the woman that I had just participated in the om with. And the first thing she said to me was, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear here.
You are. You're allowed to swear. Please.
Okay. Thank you.
You're obligated,
much.
As a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, the response from the strokee or the woman was, "What the fuck just happened?" And she was feeling it too. She was buzzy. She was electrified. We were both feeling this thing. I could not write. Every time I picked up a pen to write on paper, my writing was so untidy and I was just electrified. And that's where I go, that's it. There's something in this. There's something in this practice, and I'm going to continue with it. And I showed up. I missed the Monday morning practice, but I went to the Tuesday morning practice, and ever since then, I just kept on going every day, every morning at 6:45 a.m. in Sydney. There was morning practice, which consisted of two ohms and fear of entry and sitting meditation, and that helped me clear out a lot of my nerves and negative thoughts. It was like a real cleansing moment. And I found myself being a whole lot more productive in my day and being able to handle my shit when things were going down in a bad way. I could really handle myself. So, yeah, that's how I got started. And it took me all the way here to the United States.
Oming brought you to the United States, Tony?
Yes, oming brought me to the United States. It's amazing. And
you know, that sounds like a great blog post.
Yeah,
a great blog.
Listen. The U.S.
Well, you know, a memoir.
You
maybe a memoir.
I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't document my journey from the time that I landed here in the United States to until I completed the oming program that I took part in. So it was just an interesting journey, and it's amazing how oming just clears a whole lot of blockages and helps you to... It's a respectful practice, and it made me appreciate women and honor and respect women in a whole new level. An unsavory bastard, you could say. Yes, sir.
Tony, you described that first om, that first experience with a lot of nervousness, a lot of energy that was new to you and mm-hmm. new to your partner. And I wonder, can you say something about how this is, you know, what have you noticed in your practice since that first om and to where you are right now?
Oh, well, now I'm a whole lot more calmer. These days I now om with my now wife. I met my wife here in the United States while I was learning further about om. And before I had multiple partners, and and the like, and you'd get various experiences. Sometimes they're in really uncomfortable situations, and you learn to respect those situations. For example, if a woman is going through a period, you'd learn to accept that that is what it is in the moment, and as messy as it can be just as beautiful, and it's natural and it's normal. And that's just one example. And there's a saying, as it is in the om, so it is in life. And while you're in the middle of practicing in an om, things will come up for you that may be negative or they may be positive. But things come up for you that you need to deal with and face. And that happens in real life. I've been really emotional where I've even shed tears.
During an om,
during,
Tony?
During an om, yes. Yes. I've had partners who also cried or laughed hysterically or screamed in, like a combination of childbirth and extreme pain. It was kind of scary for me in that moment because I could feel. You get that connection with that person. You're limbically connected to that person in that moment. And it's just amazing. And then things just come up for you. And you're just, as a man, just even with, when you're having sex with a woman, the old me was just all about the ejaculation. It was all about climax. It was just, yep, just got to get there. That was it. I didn't care about anything else.
Hmm.
Now I've learned that I can feel things. I appreciate her skin against my skin. I can feel the walls inside her vagina, inside of her vaginal walls. I can feel her pussy pulsing. I can really appreciate when she's embracing me and she's touching me, whether it's a light touch or a strong touch, or if she's biting me, I'll focus on how she's biting me. Is there tongue? Is there just pure teeth? You're just a whole lot more aware of where everything is going on. And then as a man, you're there just giving yourself into the moment. So it's kind of like a cycle of giving and receiving in this beautiful practice. So,
Tony, I wonder here, Dave and I should probably offer some level of transparency if we haven't already. Dave and I have both practiced orgasmic meditation, and we know what you're talking about, but you were talking about our minimal 4,000 nerves, and there's somebody on the phone with us that has so many more nerves than Dave and I do combined. And
I know who that is.
I'm wondering what my sister Frenchie
Throw
is thinking.
Hands
I'm wondering.
God,
y'all can't see Frenchie. Him waving in the air.
Like you just don't care.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, and I don't.
So, Frenchie, you hearing all this? Talk to me as someone with so many more nerve endings than the three of us put together. What does this sound like to you? And do you have any questions for Tony?
Well, I mean that's the cool thing about it, right? There isn't one inherent sound, and the body has the opportunity to. Really be so responsive in this type of meditation. And, I think that sometimes the media, TV and movies desensitize you to how you could really respond. I mean, usually on TV you hear women supposedly, air quotes, having orgasms, and it's the same fucking sound, and it's like, well, what the fuck is that?
Right.
Like, no, like, you know, there are so many, like me, for instance, I get cramps in my feet when I orgasm. I don't know what the fuck that shit's about, but it's like, oh hell, you know, and it's forcing me to push through it, you know, so I can get back into focus. It's absolutely hysterical, but again, there are just so many responses, and he just spoke of a few of the different responses that there are. But I just wish people would, and that's how you know so many women are faking orgasms too. Well, what the hell is that? Because they're all making the same damn sound. And it amazes me that men haven't figured out, like, oh, wait a minute. And when they hear something different, they're like, oh, I got that one. No, then the problem is you didn't get the other, right?
That's right.
There are all these sounds, but it's like you think you know what you're doing. So, you know, I certainly wish that women will really take the opportunity to get into this. I think that most of all, it is, you know, unfortunately, so women that fear the orgasm, which is why so many women have are so reluctant in their sexuality as well. There's a fear about that release and surrendering, and they're forgetting that they can surrender to themselves, that is not necessarily surrendering to their partner or the person that they're engaging with, but that they can actually surrender to themselves.
Right.
And, you know, it's just wow, you know, that, and unfortunately, that so many women don't get to.
I want to let me first tell our audience that if they're interested in calling in, you can call 657-383-0185. Again, it's 657-383-0185. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. This is Sex and the Struggle. That was my sister Frenchie Davis, and my brother David Freeman is on, and we are joined with our guest Tony Rulo, who is a practitioner of orgasmic meditation. Tony and Frenchie will be joining us for Sex and the Struggle. That happened September 16th, 2017, in Chester City, about 15 miles outside of Philadelphia and about a mile from Wyden University, where one Frenchie Davis was a student at the Center for Human Sexuality Studies. And that group is going to show up strong because Betsy Crane will be there, Jules Purnell will be there, and I'm guessing a number of students are going to be there at Sex and the Struggle. But I'm really looking forward to seeing my sister Frenchie. Hey, Frenchie. Yes, right. Because, you know, we've seen each other this year already more than we've seen each other in the last 2 years. And I'm getting used to this. So, you know, I'm getting used to hearing your voice. I'm getting used to seeing you. So this is what it is. Frenchie and Tony, I want you to chime in on this after Frenchie offers something here. But as a person who has not practiced this specific thing, Frenchie, called orgasmic meditation, and I know that there are variations of this thing. What do you think of the idea of strangers? When Tony first practiced, his first practice was with somebody that he didn't know. There's a woman, and I've seen this, I've walked into, OM circles, as they are called, where there are, and I am not exaggerating, 100 people in a room. 50 nest, as they call them, 50 nest, and all kinds of scents. I'm going to call them scents, S-C-E-N-T-S, scents, all kinds of sounds, all kinds of sights. I've walked in, and it's just like the room is lit up. And a lot of these people are strangers. There are women who are on their backs, butterflies, with men and or women straddling them from their right side, stroking their clitorises, upper left-hand quadrant with their left index finger. Some of them are strangers. Frenchie, when you hear that, what do you think, how do most women and men respond to that just as a person that has never seen it? has never engaged in this type of thing. What are you thinking about that?
We are in one of the most repressed countries, sexually repressed countries that exist. An experience like that isn't considered as spiritual as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in general, you're going to have, populations that are not going to be empathetic and understanding and receiving of it. But then you have these pods of groups that are, excited about sexual expression and sexual freedom. So I think it's very, very fragmented. The church birds and the church is not going to say amen. And then, you can ask those who are more sexually free and they're going to find all their spiritual liberties there. So I don't think you're going to get one straight answer. I think that many people are really inclined to be curious. And I hope that, people will explore, even if they just take the time to just close their eyes and listen. Like, it's not even something that they have to necessarily watch, but just listen. Listen to the actual experience of it. Not even watch, because we don't want to objectify it necessarily, but just listen, and sometimes, you could be so busy in the act, you forget to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You forget to listen to the breathing.
Right.
You forget to listen to the mouth cracking open. You forget to listen to the head tilting back. You forget to listen to the eyes rolling through your mind.
Right.
There are just so many things you can actually listen to without even watching it. I think that, will tell you whether this is the space for you and whether you're supposed to be there or not.
Tony, of what you've seen as it relates to strangers coming into a space like this, I know there's no one size fits all. Nobody responds the same, but your general impressions of strangers engaging in this, what are your thoughts around that?
Well, the thing is, when you look at the concepts of the practice, you're saying, okay, this is a consciousness practice. You're not standing at the side of the nest when you're about to enter the nest into an arm. You're not there with an erection. You're not even thinking about that. You're going in that moment to connect with that person. And it's a very sacred and solemn moment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're being trained and you understand the concepts of orgasmic meditation, it's not strange to walk up to a stranger and say, would you like to om?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the choice of yes, thank you, or no, thank you. And she doesn't need... The thing is, women have every right to say yes, thank you, or no, thank you. And they don't need to add anything else. Because when you understand the feminine is, if she says no, it means no, not now. Yeah, you can always ask again tomorrow, or next week, or another time, and she may say yes to a no.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about respecting the feminine and being of service to the feminine. And I think when men finally wake up and learn to be of service to the feminine, they will get so much more in return. without them even, like, they'll have a, some men have a bucket list of what they would like to achieve in their life, and sometimes, you know, that can even narrow down into the realm of sexuality, of what they would like to try as one of their fantasies. And lo and behold, you will meet people unexpectedly and things will happen when you're of service to the feminine. You're not pressuring, you're not forcing, you're working and living in desire. And desire is co-arising, meaning it happens at the same time. When she wants it, you want it at the same time. Or if you're a gay couple, I don't mean to be discriminatory against gay couples either. So it can happen for gay couples too. So yeah, it's co-arising, and you'll know when it's right. You're in flow, and you'll feel the flow. And again, it's a very respectful practice, that when you look at the deeper levels and meanings of it, and there's a whole lot of learning involved, but when you get the concepts, it's just one of those it's a release. You feel like you've released your spirit to what is. Yeah, everything's a potential instead of a negative. You just clear the negative stuff out, and you're just saying, okay, this is what is. You're in the now. It's all about connecting with people.
I do too,
you're
Tony.
Connecting with people in
the now. Yeah, and Ulysses, we were talking about this. Yeah, we were talking about, I mean, this is the exact same thing we were talking about just before we called in for the show, that, you know, this is all about touch. This is the thing that everyone is missing. You know, the world needs this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a practice that has put a structure around it so that, you know, the things that keep people from saying yes to this, saying, yes, I want to be touched, yes, I want to feel this, is, you know, things like feeling safe. You know, I got to feel safe before I can let myself go in this moment. Things about, like, worrying about STDs or STIs, and I think I've heard now it's called STCs. But, you know, things, how do I keep myself physically safe engaging in something where I get the touch, the nourishment that I need? And, you know, the way you've described this practice, you know, you talked about the time, the position, the different accessories that are placed around to create the nest. And everything is placed in a certain format such that you can relax into that. You know what to expect. There's a way that you can feel safe there and just let yourself have it.
Correct. And the beauty of the practice is I came from Australia. And I'm from the other side of the world, now living in the United States. But the thing is, in Australia, there's an orgasmic meditation community. And the same, you could leave the United States, go to Australia or any other part of the world, and there's other communities in Europe and around Asia now that are now emerging. And there is a strict container, and you know, it's the set of rules and procedures of how an OM takes place. The same way it happens here in the US, it happens in Australia, it happens in London, it happens in Spain, it happens in Denmark, and you know, wherever, you know, in Germany, it's universal. So yeah, that puts women at ease. It puts men in a position of protecting that container as well, and building trust with that person. The beautiful thing is that if someone wants to break the container, all the women will get together and talk about a stroker that broke the container. Yeah,
oh my God, Tony!
Immediately,
Tony. Tony.
And said,
you know the role that I've played in some of these situations, and you are so right. And you're from Australia. You learned orgasmic meditation in Sydney. And I used to tell people that in my role in this community that where we met, I woke up with Australia, and I would go to sleep with San Francisco, because Australia is like 14 hours ahead of us, ahead of the East Coast anyway. And 14 hours ahead means that, you know, like today is what? Today is, were we on Tuesday?
Well, now it's, it would be midday Wednesday. It's midday in Sydney, Wednesday the 23rd. Right.
See,
now.
I told you, Dave, earlier we were trying to figure out what date it was. I told you it was the 23rd in Australia.
Yeah,
but
I told you, I was telling you that I just had I was on the phone with my Australian counterpart just before this call. So yes, I'm aware.
Hey, Tony, you're going to have to come back, Tony. There's a lot to talk about here, and
yes,
one of the things is really important is like the what we see as cultural differences. It was and remains so interesting to me. That whether or not I was talking to somebody in Australia, India, Japan, the UK, Munich, no matter who I was talking to, there's something that is so similar about the human body. And when you talked about orgasmic meditation as a practice that no matter where you do it, it's still 15 minutes. We all recognize what 15 minutes is, you know. There's a particular way to do it. But what I always found so fascinating was how people interpreted language and how people interpreted eyes, how people interpreted silence, how people – it was just so many variables. Even within the container, I would always say that there was no one stroke fits all. And you and Dave would know what I'm talking about. Frenchie, I hear you get it too. So, you know, if I've got my left index finger on one woman's clit and I'm stroking and there seems to be a connection there, that don't mean that I get my ass up, go to the next woman and try to do the same damn thing because it worked in that. That don't mean a damn thing.
No clitters is created equal.
No, they are not.
Oh, no.
No, they are not.
Every arm is different, and I'm married and I'm monogamously, and every arm is different and unique. It's never the same feeling or sensation ever.
Every connection
so
is different too.
Absolutely,
though.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Absolutely. We're coming up against the clock, Tony. It's 9:58. You're telling me, tell me you'll come back and be part of Session.
Yeah, I'll definitely come back. There's so much more to tell.
So much more to talk
great.
About, man. So much more to talk about. And we got Frenchie back. Frenchie been gone for about 2 years.
Yeah.
She finally decided to come back.
Oh, no.
Sure, welcome back, Frenchie.
That's horrible.
All right, so what? It was only like more like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I don't know, but it felt like 2 years, Frenchie.
Three weeks too long.
Well, you know what? You two are going to have a chance to see each other in about 3 weeks. So Tony and Frenchie, you are going to be sitting on the same stage in about 3 weeks. I can't wait.
Excellent.
Dave,
me too.
I don't care what you got to do for your birthday, Dave. Forget your birthday, man. You're going to have another one. You get your ass to
come on,
Dave.
Bottle
at
the struggle. We can pop a bottle at the struggle.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in to Sex and the Struggle. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I've been joined by my brother David Freeman, my sister Frenchie Davis, and our guest Tony Rulo. We are going to be back next week, 9 p.m. for Sex and the Struggle. Tune in. I want to bid everybody good night and stay committed to sex, intimacy, and pleasure. That is my parting words. My brothers and sisters, good night. I will talk with you next week. Have a good evening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you very much. Good night.